In the book of Exodus, we're studying the Lord's deliverance of the children of Israel from the bondage of slavery in Egypt. And Moses is the instrument by whom the Lord is going to deliver the children of Israel. In the sixth chapter, from verses 14 down through 25, we have the heads of the families of the children of Israel who are coming out of Egypt, and we pick up the thread of the story in the 26th verse. These are that Aaron and Moses, or these are the ones that Aaron and Moses are going to lead out. These are the ones that the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their armies. These are they which spake to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. These are that Moses and Aaron. The Lord enumerating the heads of the families. And now comes the command of our Lord, 28, 29, and 30, to Moses and Aaron to begin their work. It came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Now you remember I called your attention to the fact last Wednesday evening that the expression we have here translated, I am the Lord, occurs in the Hebrew, Jehovah I, the Lord I, or I, the Lord. So as the Lord speaks to Moses, I am the Lord, that's the authority for what he commands, speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. Moses said before the Lord, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? Pharaoh is so high above me in the world, in politics, social prestige, financial standing, everywhere in the world. Who am I that Pharaoh would listen to me? Moses still remonstrating with the Lord about his incapacity to speak, talk. Here, he lays claim to the fact that he's a man of unclean lips, as Isaiah described himself in the sixth chapter of Isaiah. So Moses says, I am of unclean lips, and how can I deliver your message to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh paying attention to me? The Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. I have so moved upon Pharaoh that he will look upon you as a god. Now, the Egyptians had many different gods, and as they came in contact with the evil forces of the Egyptians, well, we shall read in next chapter 2 that the Egyptians had many gods. And so God has given Moses the standing of a God before him. So you go in. You just deliver my message. Aaron will be your prophet. Aaron will be the mouthpiece. But I'll give you the message and you pass it on to Aaron. And thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart. We encounter many and varied interpretations of the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. Some difficulty can be attributed to the fact that the first five times we read of the hardening of Pharaoh's heart, the King James translation reads, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, which reads as if some outer force was working upon him to harden his heart, whereas the Hebrew simply reads, and Pharaoh's heart was strong. Pharaoh's heart was strong. But the sixth time we read of it, the scripture says explicitly, and the Lord made Pharaoh's heart strong. Actually, what we have is the first five times Pharaoh's heart is strong, indicating that he himself made his heart strong. Five times it is said of him, and then with the sixth time, we read then on that the Lord hardens his heart or makes his heart strong. We find the Lord dealing oft times with what seems to us arbitrarily, but when we study it, we find it's not so. When we come to the incident of the children of Israel turning back from Kadesh Barnea, we find the children of Israel remonstrating with the Lord about bringing them out. He said, we'll just wander around in the wilderness. We'll die there. We'll experience this and that. And as a judgment upon them, the Lord said, let it be unto you just as you've said yourself. Just let it be that way. And that's the way it was. That's the way they judged themselves. And so the Lord let their judgment ride. In their desire for meat, the Lord let their judgment ride and gave them meat to their discredit and dishonor. In their cry for a king, he let them be the judge. And oftentimes we find that the Lord here, under law, dealt with them according to that which they prophesied would be the way in which the Lord would deal with them. So Pharaoh hardens his heart himself. We read in the book of Romans that God chose Pharaoh and appointed Pharaoh for a specific purpose, that he might demonstrate to the whole of mankind, angels above, that he was God. He was going to demonstrate on Pharaoh and his host that he was the Almighty God. We read the same concerning Russia in Ezekiel 38 and 39. The Lord God says that when he gets through dealing with Russia at the appointed time, the whole world will know that he, Jehovah, is God. I have lots of friends all disturbed over Russia. There's no use being disturbed over them. Their history has been written by God, and no man's going to change it. It's settled. it's settled, and God Almighty is going to demonstrate His power on them. He demonstrates His power on Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh hardening his heart himself, brings upon him the action by God in which his heart is hardened. Now here God says in the third verse, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. God's going to do it, but he doesn't do it until after Pharaoh has made his heart strong or hardened it himself five times. I'll multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you. I'm going to see to it that he'll not listen to you, in order that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgment. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. I'm going to do that. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to demonstrate once and for all to them that I am the Lord. He's telling Moses this, telling Aaron this, that they'll know and that they'll understand. Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them. So did they. Moses was 80 years old. Aaron, 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. This is a different Pharaoh than the one under whom Moses had been reared and trained in Egypt. This is one who had no appreciation of Moses. This is not the Pharaoh that wanted to adopt Moses as the son of his daughter, and the reins of government and all the glory and prestige of Egypt passed to Moses. This is a different Pharaoh. This is 40 years after Moses had left. So the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, this is an interesting thing. The Lord told Moses and Aaron to wait until Pharaoh asked for the display of a miracle. You wait till he asks you. Then when he asks you, one of the signs of deity, of God, was the power to work miracles. God Almighty challenged the false prophets of the Old Testament to foretell the future. Nicodemus said to the Lord, we know that thou art a man come from God, because no man can do the mighty works that thou doest except God be with him. And I've made you a god, the Pharaoh, and when you go in there, he's going to ask you to show a miracle. And when he does, why, then you show him these signs that I have given unto you. Now, verse 9, Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you. Then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod, cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. That's a real rod, and it became a real serpent. Now, when they did that, Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now, the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod. They became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And Pharaoh's heart was strong. That's a little translation of that verse. Pharaoh's heart was strong. God's not working on Pharaoh's heart here. This is the first of five times we read similar to this, where the Hebrew text reads, and Pharaoh's heart was strong. But the sixth time it says, and the Lord made Pharaoh's heart strong. Now here we have the first sign. The rod, symbol of power. Symbol of governmental power. And the rod in the hand of Aaron carrying the rod here, the rod in the hand of Aaron, under the control of God, symbolized God's control over the government of the world. But when that rod was disassociated from Aaron and his hand, and thereby disassociated from God, cast to the earth, it became a serpent, or a symbol of evil. And that's a picture of world government. World government today is symbolized by the rod cast down, which has become a serpent. Satan is the god of this age. Satan is the prince of the powers of the air. Satan is the ruler of the powers of darkness. And the trouble with this world today is it's under the dominion and power and direction of Satan. And yet I find Christians who attempt to change that. It's interesting, isn't it? So corrupt, so rotten is this world system that God Almighty is going to destroy it completely. He's not going to purify it or clean it up. He's going to destroy it completely. Now, these wise men of Pharaoh come in and they see what's been done. And Pharaoh tells them to follow suit, and they throw their rods to the ground, and they become serpents. But the serpent that was Aaron's rod swallows these other serpents. And then comes that time he reaches out with his hand and takes the serpent by the tail. Which anyone who knows anything about the poison of serpents knows that you don't grab them by the tail. You get something and press their head down and grab them just back of the head to hold them if you're going to hold one. But we see the picture there that one day the Lord is coming and grab literally the serpent by the tail and destroy him, let him do his worst. Now, there's no unanimity of interpretation of these things. There are acknowledged scholars who contend that these men of Pharaoh's were magicians, and they knew what was going to happen. There's one commentator of great repute to writes, they knew this was going to happen, so they come in and they bring in some snakes that are stiff and dark brown and look kind of like a rod. And so when Aaron throws his rod down and becomes a serpent, they throw down what looks like rod, but in reality it's serpents. Denying to these the power of the supernatural. Now, you've got some things in here about which there's no gainsaying. We read of Aaron's rod, which became a serpent. We read of these men of Pharaoh's rods, which become serpents. They're discounting or disregarding the supernatural power of Satan. Now, look in Matthew 24:24. Matthew 24:24, speaking about the last days. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, the very elect, I judge in the light of the Word of God, to be that small minority group of Christians who are living far and walking in that close, intimate fellowship with the Lord, filled with the Spirit of God, belong to that group designated in Matthew 22. Many are called, but few are called out. The elect are the ones who are called out. Many Christians are deceived. They're deceived today. Now, before I go further, I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Bible is its own best interpreter. And you must interpret the Scripture in the light of the Scripture. I'm going to read from verse 1 that you get the entire picture. 2 Timothy 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, or lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, not having natural love, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt mind, reprobate concerning the faith. Now, here we have the names of these wise men or magicians of Pharaoh, Jannes and Jambres. Now, the Spirit of the Lord through the Apostle Paul tells us here that Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Now, how did they withstand Moses? We've had this first sign, the rod of Moses, which was in the hands of Aaron, cast to the ground, became a serpent. These magicians of Pharaoh cast their rods to the ground, and they became serpents. They imitated the work of Moses. A little later on, we'll read the second sign, where they changed the water to blood. And Jannes and Jambres changed the water to blood, imitating that. Now, one of the greatest and most potent weapon in the hands of Satan today is the imitation of the work of God. And this charismatic movement and all these purported miracles are part and parcel of that. Now, what these commentators miss is that Satan has power, and Satan can work miracles. Like I was telling someone the other day, they've gone off with some of these freaks because they were working miracles. So they said. I've never seen a one give a man a new set of teeth. I've never seen him give him a new head of hair of his own. I've never seen them restore an amputated arm or limb. They're careful to perform miracles upon which no one can check. And so I told them this when they were talking about that. I said, now if you want to affiliate yourself with a miracle-working people, join the Christian Scientists. They perform more miracles of healing and cure than all the rest of the group put together. Now, that's your test. Or if it's numbers, I tell them sometimes, join Jehovah's Witnesses. Once a year, about 100, 150,000 of them meet in Yankee Stadium. They'll baptize 15, 20, 30,000 people, biggest convention of anybody in the world. If it's numbers you want, get with them. Don't misunderstand me. God Almighty can heal. He does it in answer to prayer. And you don't have to be rubbed with oil. Someone handed me an article not long ago showing that the anointing with oil was for medicinal purposes, that the rubbing of olive oil on the head cured people. Well, if there's any truth in that, you couldn't find any olive oil in the world today. It all had been bought and used. It's not for medicinal purposes. It was a symbol of the Holy Spirit of God. And the anointing with oil, like the other miracles and things that were performed, were for the nation of Israel. The Jew seeks a sign. The just shall live by faith. Now I'm going to give you some important words, and I trust you can grasp them. I'll repeat it maybe two or three times so you can write them down and study them after you get home. As long as the offer of the kingdom of the heavens was open to Israel on the basis of national repentance, these signs, wonders, and miracles were in effect. These signs, wonders, and miracles were credentials of the preachers of the gospel of the kingdom, and they had nothing to do with the gospel of grace. Now, let me show you something if you want to see. You can release these scriptures. Your fingers get tired like mine. If you want to see, you can release these scriptures. Your fingers get tired like mine. We'll hunt them up again in a minute. Turn to Mark. Chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. I heard an internationally famous evangelist say not long ago on television he'd cast out 2 sets of demons in the United States, 5 in China, 3 or 4 in India, several in Africa. Well, let me show you what the Word of God says. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new languages. There's no such thing in the Word of God as the unknown tongue. Every time the word unknown occurs with the word tongue, the word unknown is in italics, which shows that it is not in the text. There's no such thing as an unknown language. The miracle of Pentecost was that those people from afar heard the gospel preached unto them in their mother tongue by men who'd never spoken that language before. They'll speak with new languages. They shall take up serpents. Now, I say if an evangelist is going to run around the country telling about casting out devils, why hadn't he got him a box or 2 of snakes? It says they can do it. Not only that, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. The one passage of Scripture says those that can heal, can cast out demons, can talk in new languages, they can handle snakes with immunity, and they can drink deadly poison and it not hurt them. Now, take it all or leave it all. Well, I left it all. As I've told many of you before, studying that and praying over it, I came to 2 very definite conclusions. And you have 2, if you've stopped to think about it. Number one, these signs shall follow them who believe. Number one, I believe. Now, I believe. Tell me different. I believe. Do you? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? All right, it says here, these signs shall follow them that believe. The second conclusion to which I came, none of those signs have followed me. It says they'll follow you. It doesn't say you have to get out and hunt them up and roll over in the straw all night, and then you get it. It doesn't say you have to go down to the front at a pseudo-altar and let someone anoint you with oil. Boy, it's interesting, isn't it, to see these church services with people coming down and getting anointed with oil. The Scripture says, if you want to apply it, do you know what the Scripture says? Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. It doesn't say for the church call for the sick. Let him at home sick call for the elders of the church. And then let the elders go to his home and anoint him with oil. Doesn't say if them come to church. Oh, no, with hyper air pieties. All of this put on. And then a falsetto voice. And they get it all quivering. And everybody says they're filled with the Holy Spirit. But when they start taking the collection, the voice changes rapidly. I'm telling you, we're living in days in which the true gospel is being resisted by Satan's emissaries. The verse of Scripture which says that they can heal the sick says that they can drink deadly poison and it'll not hurt them. You know, the Orthodox, fundamental Christian and even liberal Christians ridicule these people down here in Alabama and Georgia, back up here on Teleco Plains and places where they handle snakes. They ridicule them for their ignorance. But the same word that says you can heal the sick says you can handle snakes. These poor ignoramuses, so-called, show more faith in the Word of God than these healers and tongues. Look at the faith two preachers showed up in Kentucky this past year when they, before the congregation, drank deadly poison, and the Bible says they can do it and it won't hurt them. But they drank deadly poison and they died in the pulpit. Now, brother, there's something wrong somewhere. And it's not with God and it's not with the gospel. Now, let me show you these two conclusions. Number one, I believe. Number two, none of those signs followed me. So, what about this passage of Scripture? This passage of Scripture was not written to me. Now, let me show you something else in this connection. As long as the offer of the kingdom of the heavens was extended to Israel on the basis of national repentance, these signs, wonders, and miracles followed them. But when the offer of the kingdom of the heavens was withdrawn from Israel, these signs, wonders, and miracles ceased. And it's an interesting thing. It was about 6300 A.D. when God set Israel aside and turned to the Gentiles. And from that time forward, we have no signs, wonders, or miracles. It was after that that Paul told Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach's sake. Prior to that time, Paul would have healed him. This anointing with oil was before that time. All the signs, wonders, and miracles of 1 Corinthians before that time. But after about 63 A.D., you have no signs, wonders, or miracles. Paul went off and left Trophimus half dead. He had to leave Epaphroditus to one place because he was sick and couldn't make the trip. The Apostle Paul himself prayed and prayed and prayed that his thorn in the flesh would be removed, but God didn't do it. He suffered that physical illness, whatever it was, until he died. Now, Jannes and Jambres in Pharaoh's palace performed a miracle. Their rods were changed to serpents. That's what the Word of God says. And they withstood Moses because they offered something that looked like, smelled like, tasted like, acted like the real thing, but it wasn't. Now, our Lord brings that out very clearly in the 13th chapter of Matthew. If you'll turn there for just a moment, we'll look at this. This 13th chapter of Matthew describes resistance to the truth of the Word of God. We have seven parables uttered by our Lord. The first one is a parable of the sower, which describes Christianity at the time of its inception. Behold, the sower went forth to sow. The sower was the Lord Jesus Christ. The seed were the children of the kingdom. That's what we're told. If there's any doubt in your mind about it, look in verse 36 of Matthew 13. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. The reapers are the angels. All right, now just keep that in mind. The sower went forth to sow, the Lord Jesus Christ being the sower. The world, or the field, is the world. And he sowed the children of the kingdom. He sowed the children of the kingdom. The first group of the children of the kingdom that he sowed fell on rocky places, and the evil one came and snatched that away, and they had no witness and no testimony. Children of the kingdom, yes. Saved, yes, but no witness and no testimony because of the opposition of Satan. Others of the children of the kingdom were sown in the rocky soil. There was some soil. And the seed germinated, so to speak, and sprouted and grew. But when the sun came up, then the grain withered and faded away and bore no fruit. Some of the children of the kingdom sowed out here. But when persecution arose because of the word, they bore no fruit. They shut up. And I'll tell you, there's nothing in the world that Orthodox evangelical Christianity will shut you up so quick as the teaching of the kingdom. There's nothing in the world that brings on persecution from other Christians like the preaching of the kingdom. And when persecution arose because of the word of the kingdom, they bore no fruit. Others fell on soil that had the brambles, Johnson grass, and briars, and everything else in it. The seed grew and it came up. But it didn't bear much fruit because it was choked out. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches caused them to bear no fruit. But some fell on good soil. And some of them bore fruit for the kingdom. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30, 20-fold. Varying degrees of fruitfulness. Now, after the Lord Jesus Christ had sowed the good seed. Look at it, verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of the heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Now get the picture. He's already sowed the good seed. The good seed are already scattered all over the country. After he has sowed the seed, then the enemy comes and sows the tares among them. Get that word among. Get that word among. And you take all these false cults and sects and all these freak movements and everything else. Where are they doing their work? They're working among Christians. They're working among Christians. He comes and sows the tares among the wheat. He sows the tares among the wheat. It is said of the tares that when it sprouts or germinates, the leaf and the stalk looks like wheat. It grows on up, continues to look like wheat. It has a head that looks like wheat. You cannot tell until the harvest and the grain separated from the chaff. The tares have a black grain and the wheat a golden grain, and you cannot tell until the harvest the difference between them. The disciples learned of the tares that had been sown in there. They said, shall we go and pull them up? He said, no. No, you'll pull up lots of good wheat. You pull them up. Just leave them alone. The most difficult thing in the world for Christians to do is to leave these things alone and just preach the gospel of Christ. They want to go out and pull tares. They'd rather pull tares than harvest wheat with a very smug air. They say, I know we're not supposed to judge, and I'm not judging. I'm just a fruit inspector. And they go around inspecting Christians' fruit to see what they're doing. And get on with it that way. Just leave them alone. Leave them alone, the tares. Here is Satan defeating the work of God by imitation, sowing tares among the wheat. Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventists, Mormons, I don't know, name a half a dozen others. Every single one of them deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. They deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. They deny that Jesus is the Lord God Almighty. Now, many other groups talk about Jesus all the time, but they never talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Other groups talk about God, God, and God, but they never talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the greatest forces in the world today against the work of the Lord are these forces of Satan. Imitating the work of God. Someone has said in these words, you have Christianettes, in-churchettes, with preacherettes, they look like Christian, talk like Christian, use the same language, same vernacular. You can go into the most modernistic seminaries in the world today, and they'll talk about the virgin birth, they'll talk about the resurrection, they'll talk about the efficacy of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll talk about all those things using these high, holy, precious terms, but they mean entirely different to them what they do to us. You can't tell by the words they use. Now, imitation. And that's what's going on today. Now, these Jannes and Jambres actually performed a miracle, but it was by the power of Satan and not the power of God. And Satan is powerful today. And he's working today. Well, our Lord said to one group of Christians in the 7th chapter of Matthew, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of the heavens. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord. And nobody can say, Lord, Lord, except by the Holy Spirit of God. But not everyone that's saved is going to enter into the kingdom of the heavens. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many shall come to me in that day, he says, and say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done this and haven't we done that? Performed these mighty works and these many miracles in thy name? He said, yes, but I'll say unto you, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I never acknowledged you. I have never acknowledged you. That he knew them is evident because he knows all things. That's a relative expression and you have to ascertain the meaning. I've described it before as presidential news conference. All of them clamoring for a boss. I recognize you. I recognize you. All of the rest are unrecognized. These were unrecognized. I do not recognize you. I have never recognized you. You're not doing what I told you to do. He didn't tell them to go out and play with snakes. Play the role of a doctor. He didn't tell them to go around here jabbering and tell the people they were talking in some holy tongue. He didn't tell them to go and raise the dead. He didn't tell them to play with snakes and drink deadly poison. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what he told them to do. Now, to show the power of God as opposed to the power of Satan, when these rods of Jannes and Jambres were turned to serpents, then the rod of Aaron was turned to a serpent. That serpent swallowed these others, showing the power of God over the power of Satan. Swallowed them up and put an end to that. And that's the way it is. The Word of God. The Word of God. Now, if you have some healers and tonguers come to you, show them this passage of Scripture from Mark and ask them where the have their snakes and ask them about their deadly poison. Ask him about those things. Because it's in the same verse. It's in the same verse. Just like I tell them when we come to Romans 1 and 16. Nearly every preacher I know or hear tells me that part of that verse isn't true and part of it is true. The part which says to the Jew first is not true. But the part which says it's the power of God unto salvation, they're going to believe it. That's true. I said, show me what standard you have and what authority you have in the Word of God to say that half of this verse is true and half of it's false. Show me that. I had an acquaintance here in town that was healed, as were all of the members of the church at that particular time, of their eyesight, bad eyes. Everyone was healed. Everyone threw away their glasses. And one elderly brother who'd thrown away his glasses, going out of the church down steps, kind of like these out here, and he couldn't see, and he fell and broke his leg. He started hunting his glasses. And the rest of them started hunting theirs before they fell, too, and broke their neck. Oh, it's amazing the counterfeits that are in the world today. And the only way you can tell the difference is with your knowledge of this. Lord, I thank Thee that this people came tonight, and I pray that all of us shall have been blessed by this meditation. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.